It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. WSB Radio, Wes Moss here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11, to take your calls and your questions and talk about the world and the market that we live in. What a ruckus of a week. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 183 points. Just an absolute mess in Washington. I know that we've been talking about Washington and politics, and we've been doing that. Or Washington politics and Wall Street. We've been doing that for many months, but it's more relevant this Sunday than it's ever been. So more chaos in Washington than we have ever seen. And we're not even in a crisis. I mean, yes, we have Charlottesville, and yes, there's an issue with protesters, and yes, we've got an issue with North Korea, but compared to some of the geopolitical events that we've gone through in this country, World War I, World War II, assassinations of presidents, 9/11. If you think about how deep and scary those times were and those events are, here we are in a period of time where we're not even getting close to the outlook or close to the magnitude of those events, yet Washington itself is more of a mess than we've ever seen. And of course, you know that the presidential councils have left, the business advisory councils for President Trump disbanded this week, and we're going to continue to see more of that. Steve Bannon out at the White House, just cabinet member after cabinet member after official churning out of the White House. How about the Dow? And by the way, here's what we're going to talk about today. This is the most relevant question that I've gotten over and over again in a lot of different ways. And and the reason I'm bringing it up is I think you're thinking the same thing. So let me ask you a question, or bring up a question that I bet you have had to yourself or with your colleagues or your friends or your advisor sometime over the last 6 months, maybe over the last year. So as the Dow has climbed, so let's call it, you know, we go through 19,000, we go through 20,000, 21. Now we're floating still around this 22,000 level. Have you wondered if you should have more money in the market? Or looked at some of your cash and you've looked at some of your bonds that are just sitting there placidly, not doing anything wrong, but not exciting at all, and said, hey, maybe I should have put more money into stocks. Maybe I should have had more money into stocks. Maybe, but here we are with the market at a high, very high level. We're not at the apex at this point. We're not at an all-time high, but we're still pretty darn close to that. Is it too late? Have I missed the boat? You could be on the other side of that equation just saying, you know, it's been a pretty good run. I've had a certain amount in stocks. I've had half of my money in stocks. I've had 80% of my money in stocks, and it's been a great run. Now is it time to get out? You have, if you've been even remotely wondering about retirement, remotely wondering about your investments, if you've even peeked at your 401k, you have thought one of those two questions. Is it too late to get in, or, hey, I've had a pretty good run, should I get out? And the reason I'm saying this and bringing it up this weekend is that I've gotten that same, some iteration of that question over and over and over again throughout 2017. And it's a difficult question, quite frankly, to answer. Because what you're asking me, if you say, Wes, should I get in or should I get out? Two iterations of effectively the same question is basically, hey, is it a bad time to invest right now? That's the root of the question. You're asking me to look into some sort of crystal ball, and you're asking me to do it over the course of the next month, which you and I both know that's a tall order. It's an unrealistic order. So we've got to understand the context of what you're asking. Nobody wants to have bad timing. Nobody wants to have bad timing. You don't want to put stocks into the market right before it starts to crater. But as hard as this question is, and as difficult the answer, I'm going to answer it today. I'm going to open up how I've thought this through and really try to help you through the most fundamentally difficult, yet fundamentally important question we have as investors. And you will always face the same question. We've got to look at this and have some sort of answer. Again, nobody wants that bad timing. I posted about this on LinkedIn. I have this wonderful study that the Charles Schwab Research Company did, going back over the last 25, 26 years, and looked at what happens when we get invested right before a major correction or right after. And as investors, you and I both feel and you want to have good timing. So in order, you think to yourself, I've got to have good timing. It's got to be good to have investment success. Here's another thought. I've had so many investors talk to me and say, you know, Wes, here's how my timing goes. As soon as I get into something, then it goes down. As soon as I get into a stock, it craters. Heard that over and over again. So we all think about this as investors. You want to have good timing. But here's the reality of the situation. Here is the news flash that I want you to take away from today and remember. That investing success, it's less about perfection and more about participation. I'm going to say that again. Investing success, it's more about or less about perfection. You think, oh, I've got to time it right. It's got to be perfectly right or close to right. It's less about that. It's more about participation. It's more about being in this for a relatively extended period of time. Here's the other good news on this. I'm not going to talk to you here about saying like, you got to invest for 100 years to make any money. At that point, it doesn't matter. It's a long run. And investing, one of the most famous lines in investing is economics is in the long run, we are all dead. So it doesn't matter. Well, in the long run, it'll come back. Too bad. The long run is too far away for it to impact my life. So that's not an appropriate, that doesn't help me, Wes. So we're not talking about the ultra long run here. We're talking about a reasonable period of time. And the reason I like this study that I want to talk about today, and effectively was turned into an infographic that you can also find on my website under the money tab on wesmoss.com. The reason I like the graphic is that, yes, we look at a 25-year period. That is long, long, long run. But we also look at a 17 and a 15 and an 8 and a 5. So we're talking about the long run, not the ultra long run. And we're talking about the intermediate term here. So that this is something that you can look forward to in the not so distant future. I'm not telling you that you have to be Rip Van Winkle in order to be a good investor. So I'm going to go through these numbers today. I'm going to go through these numbers here on Money Matters. We're going to talk about, and again, we'll broadcast this on Monday on YouTube. I have a chart that I want everyone to see that's going to be at wesmoss.com under the Money tab. So let me go through the numbers and the why timing perfection is less important than participation. I'll post something on LinkedIn. If it's about the market, it doesn't necessarily get a whole lot of fanfare. It doesn't get a whole lot of likes, not a lot of comments. I posted this chart this week, one of the most commented on things I've done all year. This is something that really hits the mark for investors. It really it brings into focus what really matters. And again, this is a study that was just released this year from Charles Schwab. So I want you to remember this. Investment success is less about perfection and more about participation. Again, difficult question to answer. In fact, last week, I want to say it was Amy from Decula called and said, hey, Wes, the market's near all-time high, and I've been sitting in cash, half my portfolio. I feel like I missed out. I want to get back in. When do I get back in? Or do I just wait till the market drops and then do I get back in? So here are a couple thoughts, and I'm going to answer this question today. So as long as you have time, meaning years, not days, I'm talking about, again, the amount of time you're invested handily trumps how you timed your purchase. So for this study, We compared three things. Yeah, we went back to 1990, talking 25 years. This goes into 2016, so really 25, 26 years. We looked at what we call perfect timing, meaning that we're about to get in to the market, and then the market corrected, so we held off, and we held off. The market fell 20%, and then we got in right at the nadir, right at the trough of the correction, and then put the money to work. So perfect timing. And then we did the same exact numbers, but instead of getting in right at the bottom of the correction, we got in right before the market corrected. So the worst possible timing you could have. So, hey, I'm thinking about getting invested. Boom, I put 100% of my money in right away. And then we immediately hit a bear market. That happened in 1990. So if you put money to work in July of 1990, immediately the market dropped 20%, 19.9% to be exact. Same thing happened in 1998. I'm not talking about the tech crash here. I'm talking about the correction that before that, back in July of 1998, that lasted right until September of 98, where again, we saw almost another full bear market, 19%, 19.3% decline. Well, it also happened in the tech crash. So we're talking about March of 2000 through October of 2002, a 49% decline for the S&P 500. 49%. What happens if you put money to work right before that started? So you effectively chopped your money in half. How long did it take to come back? So we're comparing perfect timing to terrible timing relative to cash. So relative to just leaving your money sitting in cash. And those are the numbers we're going to go through today here on Money Matters. We got to go quick news by the traffic. Then we're going to come back. We're going to continue to talk about this study about is now at a market high a bad time to invest. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss for the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. It's Sunday morning, 9 to 11. Luke Moss sitting in a chair in the corner operating the Mevo, which is a camera where we put Money Matters now on YouTube. He's giving me the thumbs down. Thank you for the encouragement, Luke. Ryan Ely here answering the phones, producer Money Matters for about a decade, actually more than a decade. And we're here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Number in the studio, 404-872-0750. And today we're trying to answer the most important fundamental question that we all have as investors, and that's, is where we stand today, and it's particularly difficult to answer and a hard question to wrap your arms around when markets are at an all-time high or near an all-time high, and that's where we are today. We're pretty darn close to that Dow 22,000 number that is, it's new, and it's very evident that we've come a long way. We passed through 19 and 20 and 21, hit 22. We're a little shy of that today, but you're asking yourself either, should I have had more in stocks and now can I get in, or is it too late? Or if you've been in stocks, you might be saying, hey, is it time just to get out? And they're both, they're the same question. Where do we go from here? And there's a great study I want to talk about that is done by Charles Schwab. And we get into the next segment that compares perfect timing versus terrible timing relative to cash. The amount of leadership, meaning that what is propelling the Dow this year, so up about 10%, Boeing is kind of just way in front of the pack, accounting for about a quarter of all the gain so far in 2017. Apple and McDonald's, Boeing together, those three account for about half of the advance for the Dow. Stay tuned. More Money Matters and an answer to this question straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters, WSB Radio. Trying to answer the hardest question in investing today here on a Sunday morning. And effectively, is it a bad time to invest? Here we are, year to date, S&P 500 up about a little more than 8. Dow Jones up 9%, 9.5% on the year. Second week in a row, net negative, down 84.8% on the Dow Jones and a little more than 0.5% on the S&P 500. So there's a little turmoil in Washington. That's probably an understatement. There's a lot of turmoil when it comes to the White House and Congress, and is anything going to ever get done? And that's the what is making markets nervous, is the Trump pro-growth agenda. Is it going to get through? And that's been the tug of war markets have been playing all year. Effectively, can we get tax reform done? Can you get infrastructure spending done? Can you lower and lessen regulation? Can you get health care done? The answer on that, no. It's not going to happen. In my opinion, not going to happen, even though it keeps getting brought back up. Now it's on to pro-growth economic policy, which is lower taxation, more competitive taxation on the corporate side and on the individual side. So it's not just companies, but it's families, potentially lower tax rates. That's hanging in the balance. There's an awful lot of talk at the White House now happening behind the scenes. You're not hearing about it because it's the controversy first. It's the reality TV show that we are seeing daily on every single news channel on the planet about the inner workings of the White House. This week, the economic councils get divided. The business advisory councils, they're done. And that's fine. I think there's almost too many, there's too many characters in this reality television show. And it's obviously not working to get policy done. So the White House is going to take a different tact. We'll see if something gets done. But really what we are focused on, not the White House, because the market cares much more about the economy and earnings, that yes, there is a daily impact about Washington. There's a daily either shine or issue that comes directly from the White House. That impact is transitory because the tide, what really matters, comes back to economic growth. That's what markets care about. And we're trying to answer this question, is it a bad time to invest? And the reason I'm bringing this up is that this is the dominant question I've been getting all year long. Whether you wish you had more in the market as it's gone up, or you're thinking, you know what, Mal, it's been a good run, maybe it's time to get out. And there's a great study that I wrote about this week, and it's effectively a one-page chart, graph, infographic, whatever you want to call it, and it compares three things. Perfect timing, meaning that every time you want to get invested, you do it right at the market bottom, and it's north from there, versus getting invested today right before the market goes completely south, versus cash. So cash versus bad timing versus perfect timing. What do those numbers look like? And here are the numbers. And since this is radio, I want to describe how this study works. I'm going to describe how the graphic works. You want to find it, you can at some point go on to Wes Moss Money Matters on the YouTube channel. You can see the infographic as I hold it up. Or you can just go to wesmoss.com under the money tab, and you'll find the article there. So first of all, here's what we're looking at. I'm looking at $10,000. How does that grow? Or what does that look like over a certain period of time? In each period, let's call these just main blocks of time, $10,000, we put it to work right before a large market correction. Right before. But then we give it time. We give it 25 years, 17, 15, 8 years, 5 years. So like I said earlier, we're talking about long-term and really intermediate to almost short term. When you're talking about 5 and 8 years, to me, that's short term investing. So then I'm going to rerun that same each block, the same 25 and 17 and 15 and 8 and 5. I'm going to run that same block given impeccable timing, crystal ball timing, perfect timing. And then I'm going to wait until a market. What would that entail? It'd be waiting until a market correction is at the exact nadir or the trough in the correction. And then that's when you put money to work. So that's effectively perfect timing in each one of these scenarios. So I put the money in two ways to look at this, and they're both compared to cash in this study. Right before I get my money to work right before a crash, which would be terrible timing or bad timing, versus putting my money to work right at the perfect time as the market's just about to start turning north. So we are looking at short in intermediate and long-term periods of time, right? So 15, 17, 25 years, that's relatively long. Those are long periods of time. But comparing that to 5 and 8 years, that call that intermediate to short. And how would $10,000 would have grown in those two scenarios, perfect versus the worst possible time you could have? And then we're going to compare it to cash. So here's where this thing starts. So the start, it starts in 1990 and runs until 2016. If you when you look at the infographic, you'll see that the cash bar chart is in green. The bad timing is in light blue. The perfect timing is in dark blue. So let's start in 1990. So this is the long-term one. The first one's a 25-year study. 1990 to 2016, $10,000 with the perfectly worst timing possible grew to almost $100,000. That's the worst timing. 10 grand turns into 100 grand. At that point there was a 4-month bear market in 1990. So that is, you put it to work, and then we have a four months straight south for the market versus, again, impeccable timing. So we're going to do this right at the bottom of the 1990 correction. What did that result in? $10,000 turned into $113,000. Not a tremendous difference between those two. $10,000 or $100,000 versus $113,000 as the result. So not a tremendous difference over 25 years. Both handsomely better than cash. Much better than the results of cash. If you left money in money market or CD back then, 1990, all the way until effectively today, 10 grand turned into only 20,000. So you've got this, when you look at this on a really long-term basis, it's the most evident that you can find. And I think that we all know this piece of it, because we all know that over a long, long, long period of time, stocks win, particularly against cash. And the point here of this study is to say that, yes, we maximized our rate of return with perfect timing. $10,000 turned into $113,000. We did a terrible job of timing. It turned into about $100,000. Still, both extraordinary results relative to cash. Now let's go and start this in 1998, right before our 20% correction or perfectly at the bottom of a 20% correction. So this one runs for about 17 years, 1998 to 2016. The worst timing, the 10,000 turns into 25. The best timing, perfect timing, turns into 29. Still not a giant difference between those two. Cash only turned into 14. So again, even if we have bad timing in stocks, still tremendously more than just sitting there in cash over that period of time. Now, this one's more significant. Let's talk about investing right before the tech crash in the year 2000. So this is a 15-year time period. Now, this one was a massive correction. This is not a garden variety pullback. This wasn't just a bear market. This was a massive bear market. S&P 500 down over 49% during that period of time. What happens in the perfectly worst timing scenario? Well, until the end of 2016, 10,000 still turned into $18,000. Best timing, so if you had waited and gotten in right at the very bottom of that bear market, your 10,000 would have turned into 30. So arguably, yeah, great timing there. You made a lot more in this case. But having left money just in cash, the 10 today would only be worth 12. So even terrible timing, right before a massive bear market, my $10,000 still turned into 18 versus 12 in cash. So even the worst timing still beat cash by 42%. Even the worst possible timing you could have, probably couldn't have done it if you tried, still beats cash by 42%. How about investing right before the Great Recession that seems like it was yesterday, but it wasn't. It's been about 8 years. But what about if you invested right before the Great Recession and the financial crisis? Again, 8-year time frame till 2016, $10,000. Okay, let's start with the best timing this time. Best timing, your $10,000 turned into almost 30 versus the worst timing, your 10,000 turned into 16. Cash perfectly flat because interest rates were effectively zero. during that period of time. So even bad timing in this scenario beat cash by 54%. Even bad timing beat cash by 54%. And this is getting invested right before one of the worst stock markets, really the worst stock market since the Great Depression. Let's look at this on a short-term basis. So just let's go back 5 years. And let's look at this in 2011, pre or post what was a near 20% correction. If you go back, it was April of 2011 through October of 2011. Markets dropped almost 20%, 19.4% to be exact. So significant market drop. Perfect timing. If we had done this right at the trough, perfect timing turns by 10,000 into 18,000. Terrible timing turns into 16,500. Not that big of a difference. With cash, you would have made about $13 on $10,000. Blah. So in this case, bad timing still beats cash by 66%. So I look at this and we say, look, you've got to understand history. And history helps us focus in on what really matters in investing, which is, again, it's not about perfection. It's about participation. And of course, this market history reminds us again the importance of time. We've talked about that many a time. And when I say time, I don't mean forever, not 100 years. I'm talking about 5 years, 8 years, 15 years. Every one of you listening right now, every one of you has that much time. At least I hope we all have that much time, right? A lot to talk about here on Money Matters. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Hey, maybe I'll shut up for a little bit. Maybe we'll go to the phones here. We'll open up the phone lines. The number here in the studio, your questions about your life, your financial life, whether it's 401k or a 457 plan or a pension question versus a lump sum versus insurance, annuity, ETF, mutual fund. Hey, Wes, I got questions about my stuff. I'm wondering about this, not about your market timing questions. If you have something that's specific, we'd love to give you some direction here on Money Matters. Might not answer everything perfectly, but we'll set you on a course so you can find the right answer and the right and the best decision for you and your family for early retirement or just regular retirement. Doesn't matter. Financial freedom, whatever you want to call it. We're here to help with that in an objective way. Number here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You're listening to Money Matters right here. WSB.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We're going right to the phones here. 404-872-0750. Michael in Eatonton joins us. How can we help, Michael? What's going on?
Okay, a couple things. First point is that I just heard what you said about investing in 1990-1998. And what I'm going to say is relative, and I'll follow it up with a question. So that's great because we're in a booming market now. But what if an investor in 1990 was 60, 65 years old and in 08 or 09 needed to cash out? Then that scenario is not so rosy. Okay. So if someone like me who's approaching 60 invests now and 10, 15, 20 years from now, I need to take the money out. And during that window, we're in a massive correction at that point. So what's a good way to protect yourself from that happening?
A couple of really important points, and this happened. If you go back to 19 in the late 90s, I remember seeing this happening frequently where folks had expectations that markets would first of all, average 15% a year. That obviously turned out to be wrong. Everything invested in equities, particularly NASDAQ-oriented, but that was even a worse scenario because the NASDAQ was down closer to 80%, 80. So if you're heavily invested in technology and NASDAQ and you retired, let me tell you something. You had to go back to the drawing board. You had to come out of retirement. You had $2 million. Sounds like a lot. Mostly NASDAQ. It was mostly gone. So you had to totally start over or go back to the drawing board. That's what you have to avoid here. So that's a couple of, and you bring up a really good question, Michael. We call this sequence of return risk. That, yeah, you might average 15% or 10% or 9%, 8% over many years, but what happens if in the beginning when you need the money, you head into a major correction. So the answer, quite simply, is that when you're getting closer to retirement, you can't have everything in stocks. You've got to have a portion of your assets protected. And that can be in a lot of different forms. It could be a portion in cash, a portion in safe bonds, high quality corporate or government. And those are the assets that should be safe when we go into a market correction. The really important piece of this has to do with the income that's getting produced from the collective portfolio. I'm going to finish the answer to this question in the 10 o'clock hour. So hopefully you can stay tuned. Either way, I'm going to answer it. We're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.